हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिं सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
इन् दि बृहदारण्यक उपनिषत् वी स्टार्टेड् आलरेडी लास्ट् क्लास् बट् स्टिल् ऐ वाण्टेड् टु make it clearer this week. We are seeing the contents of the third Brahmanam called Udgita Brahmanam. And what is that, the important thing we need to understand from this Brahmanam? Why this Brahmanam, this section, is given the title Udgita Brahmanam? Because Udgitaha is a name attributed to Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is actually name given to Ishvara, the Lord, when you look at the entire subtle manifestation as the Lord. So one of the names of the Lord is Hiranyagarbha. So we look at the reality up to the entire subtle manifestation, the title is given Hiranyagarbha. And Hiranyagarbha here is known by the term Udgitaha. Again I said Udgitaha means one who is that which is uttered in high pitch. So Udgita is actually the Omkaraha. Omkaraha, which is Pranavaha. Omkaraha Pranavaha, when it is set to tunes in Sama Veda, Omkaraha is there in all the Vedas. Omkaraha is the essence of all the Vedas. So we say all the Vedas can be reduced to one mantra called Gayatri Mantra. All the Gayatri Mantra can be reduced to three Vyakhritis called Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Suvaha. And the three syllables can be reduced to one single syllable, monosyllabic expression, Om. We say it's a sound symbol of the Lord. Om, it is Pranavaha. So Omkara itself is what? Pranavaha, which is a mantra, essence of all the Vedas, we say. And in Omkaraha, in Samaveda, particularly, is called Udgitaha. Why? It is recited, sung in high pitch. Udgitaha. So here Udgitaha is actually Omkara. And we hear the Hiranyagarbha, it also known by the term Udgitaha here. Therefore, and in this third section, the third Brahmanam, what is the content here? You know very well, all these topics are all Upasanam topics, topics on meditation only, Upasanam. Even though we are not practicing the Upasanam, we need not practice this Upasanam, the meditations. We understand the content of these chapters in the light of Sri Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary, so that lot of subtle facts will become much clearer for us. Therefore, and Hiranyagarbha is the Upasya Devata, the object of meditation. And here Prana is the taken here. Therefore, it is Udgita, it is called Udgita. Upasanam is the subject of this prakaranam. The word, the way tight tap chapter is called Udgita Brahmanam. It's the first information. this prakaranam deals with Udgita Upasanam. Therefore, it is named after the Hiranyagarbha, the Upasa Devata, Abhyuta meditation. So it is called Udgita Brahmanam. And here, when we Udgita is taken, this Hiranyagarbha is meditated upon. So the object of meditation must be something glorious, highly revered. Only then it is worth meditating upon that. Therefore, here in this chapter, it is special, unique virtues of prana. So Hiranyagarbha again is looked upon as Samashti Pranaha. Hiranyagarbha literally stands for the entire subtle manifestation. But here, the total prana, Samashti Prana here is taken as Hiranyagarbha here. Therefore, this prana in general is highly virtuous, ended with lots of virtues. Therefore, prana is said to be guna visishtaha pranaha. Guna visishtaha pranaha means the prana endowed with special unique virtues. And guna visishta pranaha is the samashti pranaha, the Hiranyagarbha, is the object of meditation here. But it is a guna visishta prana upasanam, is the main upasanam. So in the sentence, may one meditate upon prana, samashti prana Hiranyagarbha, means it's called vidhi. So here, vidhi means the statement instructing that one should meditate upon Hiranyagarbha. We call it mukhya vidhi. Mukhya vidhi means the primary meditation. Mukhya vidhi, that is called mukhya upasanam. We also have some gauna vidhi, secondary in meditation also is prescribed in the same Upanishad, the same section, Prakaranam. So here, in talking about the glories, we are not interested in meditating now. We are not interested in practicing, nor are we expected to practice meditation upon Hiranyagarbha. But still, it is interesting to know the virtues of Hiranyagarbha. So, the Samashti Pranaha, Samashti Hiranyagarbha itself, when you say, involves what? All the Sukshma Sharirani, all subtle aspects, all the minds, all the intellects, all the sense organs, all the organs of actions, subtle powers, 10 Karma Indriyani, Jnana Indriyani, all the pranas, all of them together, Samashti in totality form, constitute the Hiranyagarbha. And here, I explained last Saturday class. This here, first, what is that first thing, first virtue, that is, what the first visishta gunaha of this prana, if you say, pranaha shuddha, vishuddha. Pranaha is vishuddha. Pranaha vishuddha. The pranaha vishuddha means prana is absolutely pure. That is the virtue of prana. If you say prana is absolutely pure, and that purity is the virtue of the prana means, what does it mean? We have to understand here. See, of all the aspects which constitute the Sukshma Shairam of the individual, the instruments of actions, instruments of knowledge, Jnana Indriyani, the 5 subtle powers which serve as instruments of knowledge, and the 5 subtle powers which serve as instruments of actions, Jnana Indriyani, Karma Indriyani, all of them and the manaha, the mind, intellect, and pranas, all of them together constitute the sukshma shariram, subtle body. But of all these subtle aspects which constitute subtle body, all of them are subject to have both, you know, desirable and undesirable aspects. Which means, the sense organs can be involved in perceiving things which are auspicious and inauspicious, pleasant and unpleasant, desirable and undesirable, or worth perceiving. They can be involved in perceiving things worth perceiving and things which are not worth perceiving also. They can see some useful things, they can perceive, they can also indulge themselves in some useless objects also. It is possible on the part of the sense organs. Similarly, therefore, the right and wrong, good and bad, both are associated with the sense organs. Similar organs of actions also can be involved in the actions which are right and wrong, auspicious and inauspicious, desirable and undesirable, or good and bad activities. Similarly, the mind also can entertain what? Thoughts. Thoughts can be of varieties of thoughts, desires, likes and dislikes. No, thoughts are there. Those thoughts also can be what? Really noble thoughts, right thoughts, are thoughts which impel a person in right action. Or there can be thoughts, the decision of thoughts, impel a person to go against dharma. So mind also can have both types of thoughts. Similarly, intellect also can have what? Right knowledge, wrong knowledge. Correct knowledge, incorrect knowledge. Which can lead to wrong knowledge, wrong sometimes can lead to some other wrong conclusions. So it's the right knowledge, which means intellect also, intellect, mind, sense organs, organs of actions, all of them are choicelessly, helplessly associatable with desirable, undesirable, pleasant, unpleasant, right, wrong factors. Whereas prana alone, pranaha, the vital air, governing five different functions in the physical body, okay, is not associated with anything right and wrong. You think well here nightly. Prana is not associated with anything right and wrong. Prana, just prana is there. Prana lends life. Prana is the very life of all this. Prana lends life for the mind, lends life for the intellect, lends life for sense organs, lends life for all the organs of actions, and thereby prana lends life for the whole physical body. Prana is the life, prana lends life. Prana is the very life of all the beings. And prana is something. Prana is not associated, is not involved in anything right or wrong, good or bad. Isn't it? Your prana is ever pure, vishuddha. Pranaha, vishuddha is the first virtue. Is it clear? Pranaha, vishuddha is the first virtue. And here, all of them belong where? All they belong to prana only. Hiranyagarbha, Prajapati. Hiranyagarbha, Prajapati is another name. So all these Indriyani, all these minds, all these intellects, all of the Vashti Pranas, all of them belong to what? One, Hiranyagarbha, Prajapati. So here we say, and the same organs in a person, last week I explained this, all these organs, Karmendriyani, Gyanendriyani, all of them can be asuras, all of them can be, what now, devas. So devas and asuras are qualifications attributed to our own subtle aspects obtaining in the form of Karmendriyani and Gyanendriyani. So when are they given the title devas? When are they given the title Ishwaras? The asuras. I said last class, if the intellect overpowers, governs the mind in terms of desires, then all the thoughts are managed by one's knowledge of right and wrong, and the will is strong and used properly, then, isn't it? Intellect governed mind is what? Devaha. All the thoughts are what now? Devas. And when the right thoughts, the desires, non-binding desires, ragadvesha, likes and dislikes, which are all the thoughts in the mind, which are governed by one knowledge of right and wrong, knowledge of this, there's also the strong will, then what happens? Then the sense organs and organs of actions, all of them are directed in right actions and right functions, then all of them become what? Devas. Suppose the intellect is overpowered by the mind, likes and dislikes. The urge of right and wrong is not used, and the will becomes weak, will is abused. When the desires, mind in terms of desire, ragadveshas, overpowers the intellect, then the thoughts govern means, then there will be wrong actions, wrong thinking, wrong perception. Then all of them are involved in wrong functions. Then they, our own organs become what? Asuras. I also explained, even the word asura is an interesting word. Asuhu means breath. Asuhu means what? Breath. So, asushu ramante ramate iti asuraha. Who is called asuraha? Demon. You know? So the one, because ramanam, reveling in anything, is what? Enjoyment of pleasures. And enjoyment of pleasures means sense organs are involved. Isn't it? Therefore, when a person is given to the wrong actions, person goes against dharma for the enjoyment of pleasures, then he is said to be reveling in his breath, which means he is called what? Asuraha. Is it clear? It's asuraha. So asuras and devas are not somebody who is sitting outside. Our own thoughts, in our own intellect, wrong thinking, wrong perception, the thoughts which bind us, and the wrong thoughts, wrong desires, binding desires, impelled actions, the functions, then all the subtle aspects become asuras. So when there is asuryam, but no human being has only asuras or only devas. We can say what? There are lot of good things also in everyone, also some bad, wrong things also in everyone. That is why human being is called Mishraha. And why there are right things, why there are wrong? When are these thoughts right thoughts? When are the wrong thoughts? When the desires rise, and the desire try to overpower our knowledge of right and wrong, then they are said to be what? Really they are asuras. Suppose the knowledge is capable of overpowering, governing our desires, then we cover now, the same thoughts become devas. It's all. See, the commitment to dharma is there, there is a daivam. கும்பகோணம் தர்வா இஸ் நாட் தேர், தேர் இஸ் ஆசுரியம், ஆசுரம். சோ ஹியர் வாட் வி சே, சோ எவ்ரி தேர்ஸ் அ மிக்சர் அண்ட் கீப்பிங் இன் தி ப்ரிடாமினன்ஸ். ஓகே, அசுராஸ் ஆர் பவர்ஃபுல் ஆர் தேவாஸ் ஆர் பவர்ஃபுல். வி சே இன் கீப்பிங் இன் தி ப்ரிடாமினன்ஸ் ஆஃப் அசுராஸ் ஆர் தேவாஸ், வி சே வாட் தேர் தேவாஸ் கன்சிஸ்ட் டு பி தேவாஸ் ஆர் அசுராஸ். சோ it is said, so it is all given in the form of a small, you know, the narrations are given here. So all these devas, all these devas within us means what? Our own right thinking, our buddhi tells, okay, do this japa, okay, do right things. Like our own intellect tells us to do the right things. Then you say what? Oh, devas are instructing the indriyani. And this, it seems they are asked to do the Udgita Karma. Udgita Karma means what now? Repeating the Omkara. Udgita Karma. Then when this, why? But when their sense organs are involved in all these powers, are just like an anecdote, okay? Involved in this during the Udgita Karma, in terms of Omkara Japa, then what happens? They because of papam, we all have papam. See, even if you want to do, so you have to understand subtle point here is, even sometimes our own knowledge, our own conscience tells us, no, don't do wrong things, do the right thing. Mm-hmm. We want to do right things. Then what happens? That time our own parabdha papa, our parabdha papa, you know, what happens? Somewhere triggers the, our makes our desires stronger and they overpower our intellect. What, who makes you again? If the thoughts arise, you have right and knowledge of right and wrong, you are not able to use it. Why? Because your own desires are more powerful, that they overpower your knowledge of right and wrong. What makes it? It is the association with your prarabdha papam. Very powerful means even it suppresses, isn't it? Will become weaker. When the parabdha is strong, will becomes weaker. Then when they're involved in wrong actions and wrong functions. So they all become defeated by wrong asuras. It seems. I mean, they become defeated by asuras means what? Asuras overpower their sense argument. They all become asuras. This is when then all these sense organs, all these powers, 10 powers, all of them were asked to practice prana upasanam. Prana upasanam is what now? See, no? Prana upasanam. Then what? Because of the blessing of prana, and all of them become pure. This is some stories said. Because why it should break it upon prana? Because prana is prana is one thing untouched by right and wrong, good and bad. So prana as a vishuddha is meditated upon, then all of them become pure. So pure means what? They all. See, this, all of them becoming pure means, even this, whatever little asuram was there, the demonic nature was there, it all goes away, they become pure means. What is the difference, becoming pure and then, before also indriyani, now also indriyani, what is the difference? When asuras are predominant, is it, we say, having the predominance of asuras and individual is said to be, is known by the expression vyashti abhimanam, individual identity. See, the asuras can exist in a person. Asuras means what? Our own organs, the mind, the thoughts, all of them can be involved in wrong actions and wrong thinking, wrong perception, isn't it? So once hurting one's own self, feeling guilty, contributing for others' hurt also. It is possible only when there is individual identity called Vyashti Abhimanam. Vyashti Abhimana means the person not knowing where happiness is, what happiness is. When the person is dependent on the world and situations and people, relationship for one's happiness, and when one's own happiness, one's own well-being and people of one's own people become important, they're very narrow-minded, then in individual identity, the wide understanding cannot be there. That is when asuras become dominant. When they become purified, when they are pure means, when all of them are, the intellect is governing your thoughts, all your thoughts are governed by your knowledge of right and wrong, and the will is strong, will is always used, not abused or unused, then what happens? All of them, there is a shamaha, there is a shantihi, there is a mastery over your mind and ways of thinking means, and naturally all your sense organs and organs of actions are also governed by what now? They are directed in their own functions, which are governed by the thoughts, which are governed by the intellect. Which means there is all this, there is no Vyashti Abhimanam, then there is Samashti Abhimanam. When the sense organs are all devas, all the aspects, subtle aspects are devas, then the Abhimanam is no more Vyashti Abhimanam, that is Samashti Abhimanam. It's a total identity, cosmic identity, wider understanding. Which means you do not think only of your happiness, you also think of the well-being of everybody. That is called what? Expansion. Is it? So expansion of the mind. So Vyashti Abhimanam goes, Samashti Abhimanam is there. Well, Samashti Abhimanam means when there is all of them are like devas, because the knowledge of right and wrong, the intellect in terms of knowledge of right and wrong, the strong will governs the your desires, likes and dislikes, and manages all the thoughts, all the sense organs, all the organs of actions are involved in, associated with the right actions and right functions and right things. All of them are devas. The Samashti Abhimanam is there. Isn't it? Samashti Abhimanam means what happens? Indriyam is no more Indriyam. Indriyam, individual power is called Indriyam, and the corresponding total power is called Devata. What's now? The same power, the individual power, is called Indriyam, and the Samashti, the total corresponding total power of each Indriyam is called what? Devata. So when they become Devas, because when they get purified, Indriyam is no more Indriyam, Indriyam becomes Devata. In Samashti Abhimanam, Indriyam is Devata. In Vashti Abhimanam, Devata is Indriyam. There is no such a thing called Indriyam at all. There is no such a thing called individual power. There is only one total power. Isn't it? There is a, though, everything is what? They seem to be divided. So no more Indriyam. And each Indriyam identifies itself with what? Its corresponding total power. We mean only total power. Devata. Indriyam becomes Devata. When all the subtle sense powers become their corresponding Devatas, the total powers, then the individual also is uplifted, elevated to the position of Hiranyagarbha. So there is no becoming Hiranyagarbha. You are already Hiranyagarbha. You are already Ishwaraha. You are already Samashtihi. Isn't it? Even though it is not absolute knowledge, but still, only at the when you understand the pure reality as pure consciousness as the only truth, that is the absolutely resolve everything. Individuality is resolved for good. But here, even at this level, very important to see how there is no individual power. Your seeing power is what? Your Chakshur Indriyam is Aryaman Suryaha. Your Shrotra Indriyam is no space. Like you had to see the corresponding Devatas. When the powers are all Devas, then they become what? Devatas. If they are Asuras, they become individual. Individual powers. Indriyani. When do you call your powers Indriyani? Just the mere individual powers. When can you call your powers Devatas? In Vyashti Abhimanam, they are individual powers. In Samashti Abhimanam, in total identity, they are Devatas. In individual identity, they are Indriyani. Understand? And we say, when they are Devas, Devatas, they are Devatas. As Devas are there, then there is Devatas. Then Indriyani are there. Asuras are there. They are only Indriyani. So in Vyashti, Samashti, Abhimanam also, identity, whether it's a total identity or individual identity, that's dependent on whether all of them are Devas or Asuras. Okay? If your own powers are all Devas, there is Samashti Abhimanam, and then they are Devatas. If they are all Asuras, then Vyashti Abhimanam, they are Indriyani. When all these are Devatas means all the powers, Karmendriyani, no more Karmendriyani, all Devatas. Total, corresponding total powers means, and the Jiva is also no more what? Vyashti Jiva, we say what? Hiranyagarbha. So Hiranyagarbha is actually evolved Jiva. Hiranyagarbha is what now? Evolved, elevated, uplifted Jiva. And it's a position accomplishable by an individual Jiva. So whoever is a Hiranyagarbha also enjoys this position must have been a Jiva with all Asura Gunas, and later on he must have become purified, you know, cleansed, and thereby must accomplish this Samashti Abhimanam, resolved Vyashti Abhimanam. Must have got Samashti Abhimanam, total identity, thereby one must have become, attained this Hiranyagarbha position. Okay. This is the teaching which we already, last class I did this. And second thing, and we saw, the virtue of prana which we saw, is this. This prana keeps everything far away. So prana is non-reachably far from all the impurities. Impurities in the sense, see, mind can have its own impurities, intellect can have its own impurities. Impurity in the intellect is what? Wrong knowledge is what? Impurity of the intellect. And wrong thinking, you know, binding disease is what? Raga dveshas are what? Impurities in the mind. So when the sense organs are involved in perceiving things which are not, which will distract attention from the Shastram and the Dharma, then we call what? They are associated with something inauspicious, means then we say Asuras, isn't it? Vyastha. So it's called impure. All of them are associated with the right and wrong, desirable and undesirable things, whereas prana is non-reachably far from everything. Therefore, it is called Dur. Dure sarvam sthapayati. The Dur. Dur. Duram means far away. So he said, even when this small narration and then I am given here in the Upanishad, that when all these other Indriyani were asked to meditate upon this prana, as a result of prana upasanam, they all become also purified, which means when the asuras, you know, asuras means what? Our own பாரப்த பாப பிராரப்தா அவர் ஓன் பாரப்தா தி ராங் ரிசல்ட்ஸ் ஆஃப் ராங் ஆக்ஷன்ஸ் விச் ஆர் நவர் அக்கவுண்ட் வென் தே ரியலி பவர் ஆஃப் தட் இஸ் ரியலி இன்டியூஸ் அவர் டிசீஸ் அண்ட் தே மேக் அஸ் ஓவர் பவர் அவர் நாலேஜ் ஆஃப் ரைட் அண்ட் ராங் இஸ் இட் வென் வி கோ வென் வி கோ அகேன்ஸ்ட் தர்மா அன்கன்ட்ரோலபிளி அவர் சென்ஸ் ஆர்கன்ஸ் அவர் பவர்ஸ் ஆர்கன்ஸ் ஆஃப் ஆக்ஷன்ஸ் எவ்ரித்திங் அன்கன்ட்ரோலபிள் they are involved in wrong actions and also we go through the consequence of wrong actions and wrong behavior also. It is possible for them to do that. Whereas prana is one thing cannot be touched by any of such. The wrong thinking, wrong desires, isn't it? The binding desires, wrong knowledge in any no way can affect the prana. Prana is something untainted, untouched. Prana lends life to everything. Prana by itself cannot be afflicted. Isn't it? Our own physiological, the prana. Therefore, I told you the last class this also, it's like, you know, taking a big ball of clay is thrown against the huge piece of rock. Nothing will happen to the rock, only this ball will get broken and fall into pieces. Similarly here, any effort, the evil thoughts try to pollute the prana also, nothing happens to prana. It's also said here. Therefore, everything is kept far away from prana. And even the prana is meditated upon, in fact we become purer. That is what is said. Therefore, prana is called dur. Okay, dur namakaha. First is what? Pranaha vishuddha is the first qualification. The first virtue. And the second is what? Pranaha dur namakaha. Prana has the name dur. The third aspect, third virtue, let me tell you. What is the third virtue of a prana? See, you would not have paid any attention to analyze, see your prana like this. Have you ever tried this? Only Upanishad makes us do this. We never pay so much of importance for this prana. What is it? Prana, all the breath is there. That's all. See, in a way, you are helped to be objective towards your own prana, your own sense organs. You are helped to be, you are helped to see how you are a helpless witness. You are helped to see in all this analysis. Do you see that fact? Are you all with me?
Yes.
You are all helped to see how you are only a helpless witness. Being endowed with this body, mind, complex, which are instruments of actions, instruments of heart, and abode of enjoyment. So, you are helped. This is how mind is made subtle. So that you can become objective later on. It's all slow, gradual preparation. Because now we have a very strong identity here with the body, mind, complex. We just be taking this prana, making us see this. Yes, definitely sense organs can be involved in perceiving the pleasant and unpleasant things. Right things and wrong things. What are right things and wrong things? Anything perceived which takes attention away from the Shastra study or the lifestyle enjoined by the Shastra is wrong. Anything which helps you follow Shastra, little of dharma, you know, keeps you in the Shastra track is what? Right things. But anything I'm involved. So, disease just arise. What say do we have over our own disease? What say do we have our own thoughts? Okay, jealousy comes, hated. What can you do with the jealousy? Can you control it? Can you undo it? Can you throw it away like this? Jealousy just a phenomenon. This is a natural phenomenon which is in your own mind. What about jealousy? What about the hatred? What about anger? My God. Everybody comes and tells you not to get angry. But anger is, have you ever analyzed what this anger is all about? So all these are variety, different natural phenomena obtaining in our subtle thoughts which formed our mind. So completely and mainly our desires and likes and dislikes, they just rise. You can undo them. So only you can manage them with your knowledge of right and wrong. You have to use, thank God, knowledge of right and wrong you are blessed with already. The whole karma yoga and Bhagavad Gita, Krishna repeatedly emphasizes this. Make use of the willpower. Make use of the knowledge of right and wrong to manage these raga dveshas. In fact, smriti should not be quoted to when you unfold shruti. No way. Shruti can be quoted when you unfold smriti. When you explain Bhagavad Gita, I can quote from Upanishads. When you explain Upanishad, I do not quote from Bhagavad Gita. Because what is source of what? I am just reminding you. What I am saying, it is possible for us to have like thoughts. We have no control. See, we have to see our helplessness. We do not create our thoughts. Even the wrong perception, wrong knowledge, not that I want to have wrong knowledge. This is how the intellect can function. This is how thoughts are. Therefore, somehow, why? What connects it? It's all papa praradha karma. Our association, impel, our own papam, the praradha karma, the results of wrong actions, very powerful that we had to exhaust. Then what happened? That association alone, again what now? When they become somewhere instrumental in making our thoughts stronger, our desires stronger, and the will becomes weaker, means then mind becomes, intellect becomes a slave of the mind. That's why we have to be very careful. That's why we need to be more prayerful to have a strong will. Whether mind is enslaved, mind is managed, or intellect is enslaved. Intellect should govern, mind should be managed. Governed by the intellect. Then shamaha, damaha will be there. There will be perfect mastery of sense organs and thoughts will be there. Everything will be, then actions will be wrong, right actions. There won't be wrong actions. That is when there's a samatti abhimanam. That is when there are devatas. That is why indriyani have what now? Become devatas. That is when the jiva is elevated to the level of Hiranyagarbha. Not immediately. After death, they say. Is it clear? So, this here analyzed. This prana is thoroughly analyzed here. So now, this, we see definitely the prana is the one thing. The vital air governing the five different functions, the only one thing which is not associated with anything right and wrong. Shuddha, ashuddha. Nothing is associated with here. So the third thing is, this prana alone definitely sustains all rest of the subtle aspects. Without the prana, isn't it? Sense organs cannot function. Organs of actions cannot function. Even the mind thinking is not possible. Knowing, understanding is not possible. If intellect has to function, the mind has to function, sense organs have to perceive, function. If all of them, for all the subtle aspects to be functional, there must be prana. Without the subtle aspects, any of the subtle aspects, we can survive. Without prana, survival is not possible. Isn't it? So what? Because prana alone, any food offered to prana is always shared and divided by the prana to all the indriyani. In fact, one of the names of the prana is what? Samanaha. Why? Samanaha. Okay, because samam nayati. Water is offered, everything is equally divided and shared, distributed by the prana. Because samana prana, the jataragnihi, the digestive fire, the prana upstream of digestive fire, in our own, you know, abdomen is what? Digestive. government digestive system is called samanaha because it equally distributes everything. It sustains all the sense organs. That is why pranaha is called poshakaha. Different names are given. Poshakaha means nourisher. Prana is the nourisher of all the subtle aspects, thereby nourisher of the physical body, the giver of life. Poshakaha, we can say, also called bharta, and dharakaha. Dharakaha, poshakaha, bharta, sustainer. Three different names are given to one prana. It's a third virtue of the prana. Bharta. Literally means husband also is called bharta. I told you many times in the class. Husband is also called bharta because he is supposed to, husband is the one who is supposed to sustain the wife, bharya, supported, and the supporter is called bharta. But here, the prana is the bharta of all the subtle aspects, sustainer, and poshakaha, and also dharakaha. You have to say that. So, this is third aspect, third virtue of the prana. Then, fourth aspect, we say, not only prana sustains all of them, prana is the very essence of all of them. Each and every indriyam, every limb, prana is there as the very essence of all the limbs, all the powers. Prana pervades everything. So first I said, prana distributes the food. Prana has all the food energy. And it shares offered to it, to all of them. Therefore, it's a sustainer. But prana remains as the very life of everything. Isn't it? The seeing power is not there. As a blind man, a man can survive. A man or woman can survive. Without the hearing power, as a deaf person, a person can continue to survive. Without the power of smelling, without being able to know, the fragrance and things also, a person can survive. So any power goes away, without the power, a person, individual can survive. But prana goes on a strike. All of them will die, isn't it? Which means, prana is the essence of every limb. Prana is essence means, without prana nothing can survive here. Same meaning, little different it is given. Therefore, without prana nothing can survive, but without anything, with the prana, life can go on. This is the important, this is another special virtue of a prana. For all the limbs, prana is there as the essence of all the limbs. Therefore, anganam rasaha iti karanat angirasaha. Prana is said to be angirasaha. And where is this prana? So, prana, where do you feel? Mostly prana is always where? In asyestaha. Asya means face. Okay? The face actually, mouth and the nostrils. A place where prana is there. Therefore, it's called asya. Ayasya Angirasaha. Ayasya Angirasaha is a name given to the prana because it is another virtue of prana. Ayasya Angirasaha. So Vishuddha, Pranaha Dur Namakaha, Pranaha Bharta Poshakaha Dharakaha, and Pranaha Angirasaha. Okay, Parahas Angirasaha. You may think, we don't benefit much from by understanding all these things. You may think, but you will see how they are useful for you later on. Okay, purposely repeat today because certain things I didn't say last class. Because I took a lot of time in helping understand the Vyashti Samashti Abhimanams. Now, see, the prana, one more important aspect is there. Therefore, we say prana is the life of all the forms here. All the forms means all the objects. All the objects obtaining in all different, five different forms. It can be a form, an object obtaining in the form of a form, object obtaining in the form of a sound, object obtaining in the form of a smell, or taste, or touch. Now, which form is left here? Tell me. Their objects are fivefold objects obtaining in five different forms constitute the entire universe, entire objective universe, which includes your body mind complex also, isn't it? And prana is the essence of all the forms. The forms are the objects obtaining in five different forms are said to be Arthaha. Forms obtaining in five different forms, objects obtaining in five different forms, perceived through, known through five different sense organs, are said to be the forming Artha Prapanchaha. Artha means what? Meanings. Arthaha means meaning. Arthaha, as a purusharta, means wealth, a substance, mean wealth also. But here artha means the meaning of the words. Okay? Meanings of the words. All the objects, fivefold objects, perceived through five different senses, which constitute the entire objective universe, is said to be artha prapanchaha. Okay, artha prapancha means what now? The universe constituted of for objects obtaining in five different forms. Artha prapancha. And here prana is the essence of the artha prapanchaha. Another word is there. Not only prana is essence of the artha prapancha, prana is also essence of the shabda prapanchaha. Shabda prapanchaha means what? Words. Shabdaha means, I told you, explained to you last class also, a word is a sound definitely. All the sounds are not the words. All the sounds are not the words, but definitely words are meaningful sounds. Even Sanskrit bhasha, Sanskrit language, words are said to be shabdaha. So shabda prapancha means the world of words, isn't it? There are words. What is a word? Word is expression of a thought. Thought expressed in gross form is word, and word unexpressed in subtle form is thought. Word unexpressed is thought, thought expressed is a word. Isn't it? Word. The thought we say pratyayaha vrittihi. So vrittihi pratyayaha. Expressed is shabdaha, word, meaningful word, and word unexpressed is what? Vrittihi, pratyayaha. So what about the words? So shabda prapancha means what about the words? Prana, please understand here, prana is the life of all the words also. Prana is the life of all the words. Prana is life of all the words. Because for the organ of action, for it to be functional, it needs energy. And prana is sustainer of the vagindriyam. But where are the words? For the thoughts to get expressed as words, you need a prana. For the mind to be functional, for the thoughts to be there, you need a prana. So prana is the life of this vital air, is the life of the words, the life of the objects indicated by the words also. So shabda prapancha and artha prapancha, the world of objects obtaining in five different forms, and all the words indicating those forms, all of them, prana, the vital air, is the life. Air, the prana alone lends life for everything. Is it clear? And here, to say this beautifully, what Upanishad does, in Veda, always words stand for knowledge, expression of knowledge, expression of manifestation of knowledge. Word is an expression of manifestation of knowledge. Word is an expression of manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, all the word knowledge always is said to be in the form of Vedas. For us, word is knowledge means, and we say Vedas stand for all the knowledge and all the words. So here we take this. What is Rigvedaha, Yajurvedaha, Samavedaha? All these three Vedas, all the Vedas are nothing but words, and it is therefore life. It is prana is the lord of all the Vedas. Prana is because without prana there can't be a word, there can't be a thought, there cannot be a word. If all the Vedas are what? We say the prana only. For prana is it looked upon as here the lord of Rigveda, lord of Yajurveda, and the lord of Samaveda. And to say that, Upanishad here gives beautiful titles are given in the this chapter, this particular third section, the third Brahmanam. Here, as the lord of Rigveda, the prana as the essence of that which gives life to all the Rigveda is called Brihaspatihi. And the lord of Yajurveda is called Brahmanaspatihi. Brahmanaspatihi, then Brihaspatihi. Different names are given here. Then one more name is given to this prana is what? Sama. Sama Veda, but Sama. The name is given Sama. And why it is given Sama? Because a mantra, any mantra is nothing but a word. Isn't it? Any mantra is a word. Any mantra uttered is nothing but a word. But Sama mantra means a mantra is not mere word. A word set to tunes, which is sung, is a Sama mantra. Sama ganam. Sama mantras are sung for Sama ganam. And for a person to utter a word, organ of speech is important, isn't it? But for it to be sung, one must have breath control also. For prana also is involved there, isn't it? So any Sama mantra, for a mantra, you need vak, and for it to be sung, there must be prana. Without the prana, even you can't sing any music. Whether it is to sing any music, you need prana. One has a breath control here, isn't it? Whereas here, for prana mantra, all these mantras to be recited, sung in a specific way, you need the blessing of prana. Therefore, it is said, every sama mantra, sama means, for the organ of speech to be functional also, prana is important. Organ of speech itself is dependent on the prana. Therefore, word also is what? The life of prana is gives lends life to word. And not only that, it is to be sung also, one needs the breath control means, the prana's blessing is important. Therefore, without prana, there cannot be mantra in terms of word, there cannot be word sung. Isn't it? Therefore, it's called prana is said to be what? Sama. Prana is given the name Sama because Sama means prana is in the form of a mantra set to tunes. So, the Omkaraha, sung is what? In some ways called Udgitaha. In uttered in high pitch is Om, Om. It is sung in high pitch is called Udgitaha. And Udgita is also what? Prana. Prana alone is the name of Omkara uttered in high pitch. So prana, Omkara uttered in high pitch, known as Udgita, nothing but prana. Because prana supported by this speech, Vagindriya. Isn't it? It means, in fact, we can't even separate Vag here. It is the prana which is in the form of Udgita. Therefore, next title is what? Prana is the Udgita, is the next virtue. So prana is Vishuddha, prana is Durnamakaha, prana is Poshakaha, and prana is Angirasaha, and prana is Brahmanaspatihi, Brihaspatihi, and prana is the life of all the entire world of forms, prana is the life of entire world of words also, and prana is the Lord of all the Vedas means, prana is the very Udgitaha, Omkara, set tunes, sung, Omkara sung in Samaveda is Udgitaha means prana is Udgitaha. See how much prana is glorified. How much appreciated prana's importance, prana necessity. We may take it for granted. What is the use? You are made to see. Isn't it? That is why they are called rishis. Rishi means they see differently what we do not see. See it means what? They see what much, much more, far more than what ordinary people perceive and see. Okay, this one. Now, here comes. So, if a person meditates upon prana as the one endowed with all these virtues, what will happen? He will definitely attain the position of a Hiranyagarbha. Meditating upon prana will help him resolve the Vyashti Abhimanam, will help him assume the Samashti Abhimanam. Thereby, his narrow-mindedness will go and there will be expansion and he will think of the well-being of the whole, the entire. And that is when all his indriyas become devatas, the prana upasaka himself attains Hiranyagarbha status, position. And Hiranyagarbha upasaka, not only he can pray for his own self, he is eligible to pray for the well-being of others also. Okay, and prana, as he said, the one more next thing is the same section we have. So the meditating upon this prana as the one endowed with all these virtues, prana as Vishuddha, prana as Durnamakaha, prana as Poshakaha, prana as Bharta, prana as Angirasaha, prana as Udgitaha. Now, seeing all these different virtues, meditating upon this prana, This is the Mukhya Upasanam. This is the main meditation. There is also secondary meditation. It's called Gauna Upasanam. Gauna Upasanam means, not the prana here, to understand here, Upanishad is giving, presenting a small narration again. See, for a person who is known as Samagaha, Samagaha means the one who recites Sama mantras. One who sings Sama mantras is called Samagaha. Samagayakaha is called Samagaha. Yaha Samaganam Karoti. So Samagaha. The one who sings the mantras, setting the tunes as what is Samaga, Samaveda rules. So the reciter of Sama mantras is called Samagaha. Is it clear for all of you? Yeah. And Samagahas, definitely for a person to be a good Samagaha, and he needs to have, you know, special qualifications. Which means what? He must be equipped with good things. And what he should be equipped with? Three important, every Samagaha must be equipped with three important factors. Now, for him to be an effective Samagaha, powerful Samagaha, he must be endowed with, equipped with three factors. What are they? First of all, whoever sings must have what? Good voice. Isn't it? Very powerful, captive, attractive voice one must have. People used to come and tell me, oh, when they come and listen to Swamiji's singing or the talk, sometimes they say, oh my God, what a voice he has. I did hear from people saying, Mr. Just a thought came. Always his voice comes to my mind. That's why I just tell you. The voice is given importance in, for any recite, Samagaha. Whoever chants any mantra must have good voice. You know, it's called Swaraha, isn't it? Swaraha or Dhvanihi means what? Uchadhvanihi. Uchitas Dhvanihi. One must have clear, one must have really proper, nice voice, captive voice. This first is a big, you must have it. Samagaha. The second factor is, it is not enough if a person has good voice alone. When he recites or sings, the words must be very clear. Sometimes we go to bhajans, the instruments are so noisy, we can't hear the words what they are singing. Have you noticed this? It's called aksharasphutata or aksharasphutatvam. Sphutata or sphutatvam means aksharani sphutani syuhu. All the sounds, varnas, the letters, bha, dha, tha, na, sha, sha, sa, the sounds must be very clear. So, but the person who sings, he must have a good captive voice and his sounds must be very clear. So, suswaravan, suvarnavan, syat. Suvarnaha means what? Clear sounds. And second thing, for all the sounds to come correctly, isn't it? The vag, the speech must be what now? Very clear. The sounds must be clear. Everything must be clear. Which means he must be endowed with healthy organs which are associated with the speech. For any speech, for a recitation, recite a mantra, for singing song, for music, for speech, definitely there are certain aspect of the limbs associated with the singing and speaking, speech. and all the organs must be healthy. Isn't it? Like what? Suppose we don't have lipus somewhere. Tongue is not there. Our tongue is suppose somewhere problem. Teeth are not there. That's why when elderly people, who those who don't have teeth, you know, will go. Why? Very important. The person who sings must have all the organs. He must have healthy organs. Lips, teeth, tongue, isn't it? If you read Panini, it is mentioned, sthanam prayatnaha. What effort is involved in uttering a sound? And what are the places which are this, you know, where the sounds emerge from? Sthanani and prayatnaha, it's mentioned in Panini. What I'm saying here, so the person who sings, he must have the healthy limbs which are associated with this speech and singing. Three factors. So he must have suswaraha, good captive voice. He must have clear sound. His sounds must be very clear. Now, suvarna, suvarnani. Then he also has what now? Speech, which means clear speech. He must be endowed with healthy limbs. Okay. Now we say, the idea is in this Upanishad, in this section, what he says, for a person to have this swaraha, good voice, and to have clear sounds, and to have all the healthy limbs, prana is there, must be there. Is it? It is the prana which is important. Prana alone is in the form of what? All these threefold. If a person is endowed these threefold factors, he is said to have threefold wealth. Okay? The Samagaha is said to have this threefold wealth. If he endowed these threefold factors are looked upon as threefold wealth. And we say, it is these threefold factors belonging to a Samagaha actually are wealth of prana. Because prana alone is in the form of suswaraha, suvarnaha and suvag. Suvag means what? The speech associated with healthy limbs. It is prana which is in the form of all the three. Is it clear? Therefore, and so here Upanishad also says here, may one meditate upon these three factors also. We would not have thought of this. How important it is for us to have a clear voice, no? Captive voice and the clear sounds and also having healthy limbs to be able to utter everything correctly, properly. Is it clear? Therefore, the meditation upon these three factors is called Gauna Upasanam, secondary Upasanam. We are not practicing Upasanam. I am just telling you what are the contents we have in this chapter. Now, towards the end, what is there? If this Guna Visishta Prana Upasanam has to be successful, has to be effective, fruitful, totally it has to give you the benefit, then this meditation upon prana must be combined with the oral activity called japaha. Okay, manasam or vachikam, japaha. Japaha is what? Repeated utterance of a mantra, and which is a prayer. And this mantra, very popular mantra, and if it is called in a different context, people can give different meaning. But this mantras quoted here, presented in this section of meditation, the meaning is given by the Upanishad itself, which is different meaning. What let me tell this meaning and stop the class, okay?
Om asato ma sadgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya
Mrityorma Mritangamaya. So even though we have three sentences here, now in each there's a prayer, it's a prayer. What Upanishad says, Upanishad itself gives the meaning in its the very original mantra itself, meaning is given. What is the meaning given here? Please remember, this prayer given as a mantra has to be practiced along with the upasanam. So upasanam with this japa will be complete upasanam, and the japam with the upasanam will be a complete japa. Okay? Therefore, it is given the context of upasanam, therefore meaning also is different here. It says, asatoma sadgamaya, tamasoma jyotirgamaya, mrityorma amritam gamaya, means the meaning is the same for all three sentences. This japa mantra consisting of three sentences had the same meaning. So here, mrityuhu, if we take, so mrityorma amritam gamaya should be taken. That is the meaning of all the other sentences also. So mrityoho ma amritam gamaya means what? So mrityuhu here, in this context, means incorrect, wrong action and wrong thinking is called mrityuhu. Why? Wrong action, wrong thinking, wrong karma, wrong, is it? Action and wrong upasanam will result in what? Death only. Death means not physically being killed alone, it's not death. Being object, becoming object to afflictions and problems is also what? Death only. Isn't it? You are killed, not totally. You are slow, gradually killed, means the pain. It results in pain. This is a mrityuhu. So wrong thinking and wrong action is meant by the word mrityuhu. So mrityoho, so here first, asatoma sadgamaya means, O Lord, help me become a person of right action and right thinking from being a person of wrong action and wrong thinking. Is it clear? Lead me from right action to wrong action to right action. Lead me from right thinking, wrong thinking to right thinking means what? Help me convert from being a person of wrong action and wrong thinking into a person of right action and right thinking. In other words, asatoma sadgamaya. And when do I do that? When swabhavika jnanam upasam. By my own nature. My actions are governed by my own thinking and my own understanding. It's called swabhavikam karma and upasanam. Karma and jnanam. My actions and my thinking are governed by my own nature. Then it is what now? It's called wrong action and wrong thinking. It's very natural. And for me to be converted, for me to be converted as a person, from being a person of wrong action, wrong thinking, to be converted into a person of right action, right thinking, what I need is Shastra Jnanam. Okay, Shastra Jnanam or Shastriyam Jnanam. So knowledge of right action, knowledge, I need what for me to be converted? I need what? Knowledge of right action, a knowledge of right thinking. The knowledge of value of right action, knowledge of value of right thinking, I need. That is where do I get it from? Shastram. Why? When Shastram teaches me Purushartha, Shastram teaches me what is the goal, how to accomplish it, how the Shastra, what are the four ends, why I should develop a dharma, etc., etc. So Shastra, Shastriyam Jnanam means what? The knowledge of right action and right thinking, the knowledge of the value of right action, right thinking, no, which I can get from Shastram. That is what we say second. Therefore, Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya means, O Lord, may you make me a person of knowledge of right action and right thinking. Make me a person of knowledge of the value of right action, right thinking. From being a person of ignorant of right action, right thinking. Okay? So lead me from the ignorance, being ignorant of right action, right knowledge, right thinking, to the knowledge of right action, right thinking. The last one, Mrityorma Amritam Gamaya. There, both the prayers are combined here. So bless me with knowledge of the value of right action, right thinking, from being ignorant of right action, right thinking. That may help me convert into a person of right action, right thinking. Thereby help me resolve my Vyashti Abhimanam and have Samashti Abhimanam. This much is the meaning. Not my story. I am simply reading. It's all meaning given by the Upanishad itself. Which means, help me convert from being a Jiva into Hiranyagarbha. Help me convert my asuras into devas. Help me convert my indriyani into devatas. They may help me my jiva status resolve in what? Accomplishing Hiranyagarbha position. So Hiranyagarbha padavi prarthana. So prayer for accomplishing the Hiranyagarbha position. If any of you think, I don't want Hiranyagarbha position, who cares for it? Means you ignore it, okay? If you want it, even if you say, Asatoma Sadgamaya Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya Mrityorma Amritangamaya. And please understand, this is the meaning in the context when this mantra comes as a Japa mantra to be practiced along with this upasanam. In the context of upasanam, this is the meaning. In other context, okay, people have different meanings, okay? Lead me from ignorance to knowledge of knowledge. Like people say all those things. Lead me from mortality, immortality. All those stories are not here. Here, the meaning is simple. Is it clear? Okay. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. We have completed the entire content of the Udgita Brahmanam of the third section of the first chapter of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Okay? The contents are over. We have to understand first. Then we will talk about it later on.